This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Sex Out Loud is sponsored by Lilo, award-winning designers of the world's best pleasure objects.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We've got a really good show today. We're talking to, well, Canadians. And if you know me, you know I love Canada. And we're going to talk about this brand new book and representations of BDSM and violence in photography. If you want to join the conversation, we are live, 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. I know that many of you don't listen live, and guess what? We've got a solution for you. We now have this brand new 24-hour call line, which you can call in and give us your questions for an Ask Tristan segment or your comments about a show that you heard. Doesn't matter how old it is. That number is 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. Hey, this weekend is this thing called Valentine's Day. I don't know if you've heard. And on Sunday, the actual day of Valentine's Day, I am telling a story on the main stage at Body Storytelling. If you don't know what body storytelling is, I think it's been called the moth for perverts. So it is a live storytelling event where people tell true stories without notes. And I'm doing the Valentine's Day show along with many other really incredible performers, comedians, writers. The theme, as there is always a theme this time, is scandalous. And so I'm going to be telling you a story that is scandalous, which, you know, I think it's a pretty good story. And I practiced today with Dixie De La Tour, who is the curator and host and a professional storyteller. And she said it was a kind of a what the fuck story. Like, I can't believe that really happened. So listen, tickets are available if you go to Body, B-A-W-D-Y, storytelling.com. They've got tickets through Eventbrite. And tickets are also available at the door. So this is happening in LA, and it's at Busby's East. There's going to be prizes and games. She has a lot of fun mixer games. And if you sign up as a VIP, you get a huge bag of Lilo sex toys. You know, I love Lilo. They're my current sponsor, so it all sort of fits. So maybe I'll see you and we can be Valentines, because in my world, you can have more than one Valentine. Okay, and reminder that April 14th to the 17th, I'm going to be emceeing, also on stage, at International Ms. Leather and Ms. Bootblack 2016. So make your plans now, people. Go to imsl.org for all the information. And of course, you've heard this before, but I'll tell you again, Sex Educator Bootcamp is coming to Woodhull's Sexual Freedom Summit in August in the DC area. There are two ways to register, because you can either be registered for the summit and then for the pre-cons, which are my boot camps, or you can come to my boot camps without being registered for the summit, which is exciting. We're going to put out those links. Raymond will tweet those links right now. And you can also always go to my tour page on my website to find out more. Today is also your last day to enter the Lilo giveaway. So if you go to my Twitter feed, you're going to follow Lilo's official account on Twitter and then find one of my tweets about this contest and retweet it, and you're entered to win a Lilo Tiani 24K vibrator and a tux, which is actual formal wear for your penis or your dick or whatever. Okay, the other thing I want to tell you is, it's just a little teaser. The ink is not dry yet, but I'm telling you this is happening. Seattle and Portland, I am coming your way. Seattle, I will be there April 23rd for a really exciting event that you're not going to want to miss. And then I will jog over to Portland the 24th and the 25th of April. So mark your calendars now. Tristan will be in my neck of the woods, and then I'll give you details as we go. Okay, let me tell you about today's guests. N. Maxwell Lander is a photographer, designer, and other type of artist. He is an advocate of the Oxford Dictionary, including pig as a classification of gender. He remembers being told his first word was chocolate and that his first steps were taken in order to get closer to certain parts of Dolly Parton on a TV screen. He aspires to someday grow a beard for man contouring and hopes to use his newly acquired deep voice to become the fat guy in the dance music video that inserts the singer's name into the beginning. He's also being modest in this bio. He's won feminist porn awards for his groundbreaking short films. His work has been featured in publications internationally, and he's photographed stars and regular people and showcased his photography in both solo and group gallery shows. And J.P. Robichaux has been working and playing with control for the past 10 years, both in his personal life and practice, and also as the head rigger for the Keyhole Sessions, Toronto's foremost erotic life drawing and photography experience. JP was the resident stage manager for Les Coquettes Cabaret Burlesque and recently took on stage management duties for the Toronto Burlesque Festival. He has organized sexuality workshops around Toronto and is the co-programmer and producer of Playground, Toronto's fastest growing sexuality conference. He co-presented a workshop on consent at the 2015 Guelph Sexuality Conference. He's been a featured performer for Madison Young's Femina Potens Gallery in both San Francisco and New York. And he was the technical director of the 2013 and 2014 Good for Her Feminist Porn Awards. Welcome, Maxwell and JP.
Hello. Hello, thank you.
Hey, so we're here to talk about Maxwell's new book, which is this photography book called Carnal Anomaly. And JP is the cover guy for the book. I didn't know how else to put that, JP. But JP's image is throughout the book. And then he's also the cover guy. I want to read a little bit from the intro just to give folks a little taste of what this book is like. This is a quote. "This book is hard to explain. It has been many things before it came to rest as what it is. A documentation of transhuman bodies, an exploration of body modification, a collection of fictional movie characters, a look at future sex, a whole lot of masked men. It is now none and maybe also all of them. I've used silly strung together phrases to attempt to describe it. It is pseudo a lot of things. Pseudo porn, pseudo portraiture." I'm inserting the pseudo. "Pseudo science fiction, pseudo cyberpunk, noir, fetish, fantasy, violence. It is all of these things. It is that throaty whisper. It is orange mesh. It is crash and burn. It is DIY. It is occasional romance. It is the 90s. That's just a little bit of the intro, because everyone knows I love the 90s. Let me tell you, dear listeners, about what Carnal Anomaly is like. It's actually the delightfully disturbing coffee table book of your dreams, featuring power-drenched sex in gritty, grimy places, fetish and fantasy, violence, both overt and subtle, a little sci-fi, a little cyberpunk, and about as much blood as an episode of Dexter. It makes me I'm thinking of, when we think of fetish books, we often think of these sort of slick, glossy images of people like Eric Kroll or even Richard Kern, Stephen Diet Getty, the bondage shoots of Dave Naz. These are also, you know, these are current photographers who work kind of in this subject oh my God, you guys, starting. Okay, in this subject material area. So, but this is more like if Bunny Yeager was locked in a basement for like several months and only with models and basically a camera. It reminds me a little bit of famed photographer Del LaGrace Volcano. Has shades of that for sure. It's got a hint of the late Honey Lee Cottrell, who we just lost last year, and some shades of Nan Golden. But it's ultimately this unique vision and voice of Maxwell Lander. And it's also a lost art because there are just so fewer and fewer fine art photography books being published these days because of cost and margins. And so I just want to thank 3L Media for doing this one because they did a really beautiful job on it. And I don't know if you can tell, but I really like the book, you guys.
I'm really excited about that. I kind of think I'm going to take that sound clip and just like play it at people whenever they ask me anything about the book.
Oh,
like, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. Just like listen to Tristan.
Okay, good, good. Well, so Alex Leach wrote the foreword to the book, which is before your introduction, and definitely talks about fetish and BDSM activities. And those things are represented in this book. There's whipping, there's bondage, there's hot wax, there's dominance and submission. But Maxwell, do you consider this a BDSM photography book?
I mean, yes and no. It's definitely like, I mean, as you just said, it's definitely in there. I wouldn't say that it was necessarily meant or conceptualized in the beginning is like, this is going to be a representation of BDSM. I mainly just invited seven people to kind of join in this project and then see where we all wanted to go. And we just all happened to be dirtbags.
Thanks, Max.
Right.
Well,
you all happen to be a little kinky, a little perverted.
I would say like a little to like really kinky would be the spectrum, but And even the ones who were a little really wanted to be closer to that, the other end of that.
And JP, as a model for this book, what was it like to work with Max?
Well, Max and I have worked together a lot in the past. There was a really, there was an amazing degree of comfort, I think, that existed in terms of me being... The use of model is weird, but I recognize it. That's you know, technically that's what it is. But I've been on camera for Max like a bunch of different times before, and the level of comfort that's there, I think that exists between us, and also just my interest in what he wanted to do with the project and what the kind of images that he wanted to create and the kind of freedom that he wanted to give those of us who were going to be appearing in the book to sort of build images in line with what he was looking for, while also adding our own flavor, our own representation, or our own selves into the images. That was all really attractive, and the group of people was fantastic.
Mm. Also very attractive.
And also very attractive. Okay, so we're at our first break already. Can you believe that? I think it's because I rambled on and on at the beginning. But let's take a commercial break, hear from our great sponsor, Lilo. And when we come back, we are going to dig into more of this amazing book, Carnal Anomaly, talk to JP and Maxwell, and even tweet out some pictures from the book. So if you feel a little left out because you haven't seen this book yet, well, first of all, just go buy it. And second of all, we're going to tweet some pictures. So stay tuned, more after the break. Hi, everyone. It's Tristan. In a loving relationship, a pleasure shared is a pleasure doubled. Lilo, the world's leading pleasure brand, has a gorgeous selection of luxury pleasure products for couples, each one perfectly designed to ensure both partners get the most from sex. Lilo's remote-controlled pleasure products feature an exclusive technology called Sense Motion. You can control the vibrations of the massager by simply tilting and moving the remote. It's incredibly intimate, even from a distance. All Lilo's luxury couples toys are waterproof, rechargeable, quiet, and absolutely beautiful. Try the best-selling Tiani 24K for the most sensuous shared pleasure you've ever experienced, or the Lilo Smart Wand for the most powerful all-over body massage of your life. Go to Lilo.com or any good adult retailer now to see how Lilo can bring you closer together.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education Series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Today I'm talking with artist and photographer N. Maxwell Lander about his new book, Carnal Anomaly. And joining us is J.P. Robichaux, who is on the cover of the book and one of the seven people Max picked to be in this photography book. And also, it sounds like, you know, from what we heard before the break, a real collaborator on this project. And I found that interesting to hear, JP, that you felt like it was a collaborative process, because it does seem to me that when you're looking through this book, some of these images feel stylized and set up, for lack of a better phrase, but some of them feel as if you simply are doing a BDSM scene and Max is documenting it. I mean, does that ring true for you, JP?
To a degree. I mean, I feel like the thing that makes it very, very much not a scene at all is the recognition that there's a camera that's there that's trying to capture something true, right? Something valid, something connected. I mean, that's the thing that makes a lot of the photographs, I think, so potent, is that there existed really solid, fun, vibrant connections between all of us who were in the photographs. And that's a thing that Max was really good at being able to capture. But of course, the thing that makes it not exactly a scene is that there was always, because there was the recognition that the camera was there, I was thinking more about, okay, so I should maybe angle out a little bit more, or I need to not just rip the tank top apart, I need to half rip it and then hold it and listen for the shutters and then rip it a little bit more and listen for the shutter and rip it a little bit more and listen for the shutter. So there was an aspect of just that kind of consideration, right? Being more aware, I think, of where I was placed inside of a moment, inside of a situation, to give Max more what I think he was looking for in the moment.
Mm. And Max, this book is dark.
Yes, it is.
Is that an understatement? The lighting is often dark. The mood can be dark. The scenarios, dark, 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 dark. So I wonder if you'd tell me about your relationship with the dark.
With the dark? Ooh. Well, it's heavy and intense. This feels like a funny moment to mention. I'm actually terrified of the dark, but
that's an amazing sort of contradiction. I love that.
Okay. Yeah, definitely have always been afraid of the dark since I was very little. I've always been drawn. I mean, for me, a lot of the, at least with what I find interesting photographically, I've never been super bright and fluffy. Maybe because I think that this may even go back to the fact that I don't always love shooting full nudes. I like something to be hidden a little bit, and shooting kind of super dramatic very dark imagery does leave a lot out. There's enough in to get a hint of what's going on, and then there is enough that just you can't actually see what's happening. And that to me is always kind of appealing, because I like there to be some fantasy element. I'm not into realism, and so I don't want to portray every pore and every detail of every situation. I think that makes sense.
I think it's in contrast to some typical BDSM photography, especially more mainstream sort of fetish photography. There's a lot of blood.
Yes. There's a lot of blood.
And then even when you turn to a page and you think, oh, there's no blood in this photo, suddenly there's like a faint smear of it or a remnant of blood on someone's skin. It's pretty intense.
That's just because we were all covered in blood.
There was a lot of blood. Okay, so why so much blood?
I mean, I love blood. I actually just finished recording an episode of Why Are People Into That with Tina Horn, all on blood, because I'm that into the blood. For me, it's super visceral. Beyond it just being aesthetically pretty, which clearly it helps here, but there's a lot of danger potentially being portrayed. A lot of people find it really confrontational. A lot of people who know me try and figure out which ones are real and which ones are fake and what kind of blood it is, whether it's, you know, body blood or, well, skin blood, I guess, and or menstrual blood, and that kind of, like, I like that people have a really big thought process around it, which, I mean, it helps that I love the aesthetic of it, but I do really like that people have very strong responses to it one way or another. Mine just happens to be all for all the blood.
Max, there are also some self-portraits in this book. You kind of pop up in various places. Sometimes it's very clear that it's you. Other times, you have to kind of do a double take. But how is that process different from taking pictures of other people?
It's super different. So when I said that I invited 7 people in, it was knowing that I was also going to put myself in it, because I wanted to have a really strong core cast. And there's a lot of reasons that I chose to do that. The actual process of taking photos is sometimes super logistically complicated, and thus you end up that process that JP was talking about of being aware of the camera becomes even more intense, because I'm trying to control the camera while also not making my face look super weird. And other times I actually had some people that I was like, I need you to sit here. I've set everything up and you're just going to click for the next 20 minutes and it's just going to happen. And that made it way easier. Trying to control everything is difficult for me. I'm not a huge control freak beyond lighting, actually. And so trying to be aware of that, it really was a process of like challenging myself to be okay with that a little bit, because I'm semi-comfortable with my general appearance, but I'm definitely not as cocky as I think I come off as in the book, which is great. I'm okay with that difference.
Is it scarier for you to put out images of yourself than other people?
Well, no, because I'm still really in control of which images make it out and or which they and how they're processed and what they end up looking like. For me, it's kind of fun. Part of the reason that I wanted to be involved is because I knew that the way that this project was probably going to go, I was going to be really envious of everybody's involvement of it and having this kind of collection of images of themselves, which is something that I don't frequently have. And I'm often creating these nice collections and ego boosters for other people. And with this one, I definitely wanted to give myself some space to kind of access a little bit of that.
And JP, when you were shooting this image that eventually ended up on the cover of the book, did you both know this was a potential cover shot?
No. The only thing that I knew was that I was covering my face with blood and then pressing saran wrap against it. there wasn't really... Max, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that was one of the first shoots for the book. Like, it was really early in the process, right?
I think it was the second shoot, actually.
Okay.
And so very early on in the process. And the first shoot was definitely a test, and I didn't think I was going to keep any from it. So this was the first shoot that was, oh, this is happening, and this is the first thing that's going to be included in it.
And the first thing that I did for the book, and I had no idea that it was going to be a cover shot. I just sort of liked the idea of being able to play with looking a little bit bloody, because I quite enjoy that aesthetic as well, but also looking a little bit gross, maybe, or a little bit really kind of body centered and visceral and carnal. Like it fit with, I think, and I think as an image, it maybe set, didn't really set, it helped to realize a path that the book was going to go down, aesthetically speaking. Maybe not consciously, but.
I mean, how would you, JP, and then maybe Max, how would you describe the cover photo? Because this is one of the most arresting images in the whole book. And yeah, so just for listeners who are like, okay, well, what's going on the cover besides blood?
Max?
Sure, I can describe it. I mean, it's a close-up of JP's face. What's funny is I actually think he ended up looking quite pretty in it, because the way that the blood has kind of pooled and sat and kind of smudged into his face underneath this layer of saran wrap with a little bit of water in it ends up looking a little bit like makeup.
That's true.
There's a little bit of a blush and like lipstick thing happening in there.
Yeah, there's kind of a hard lip line.
Oh my God, I don't see that at all when I look at it. That's so odd. Okay, keep going.
I mean, I think the fact that his eyes are closed kind of, to me, give it this like a little bit of serenity. Not a word I like, but feels accurate in this moment. And it definitely sets the tone. It's definitely like, here is a close-up photo of this, like, what we can only assume is this burly dude who may or may not be dead. And may or may not be meat packaged. That was, I mean.
Maybe dead and packed like meat.
Yeah.
Packed like meat. This is fascinating because I didn't pick up on the saran wrap element of it. It's so close up, I want to tell people, that it's not like 100% clear what's going on all the time in it. And I thought that that was some sort of sticky goo, like from an alien or some sort of encounter that would make your face all sticky. And I also think you look a little bit like an animal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, either of you?
What kind of animal are you seeing? I'm just curious.
Now. I mean, it seems like he has whiskers.
Yeah. Oh. The lines coming in from because the way that the saran wrap, when I was pulling it, not only was I putting it tight against my face, but I was inhaling. So the blood mixed with a little bit of the water underneath of the saran wrap was kind of being vacuum sealed against my face. So the lines that you're seeing in the image are because the blood-water mix liquid is actually just being sort of suction forced into those lines, creating them looking darker. That's why it's so tight around my nose and why... coming up towards my brow, like there's that sort of triangular shape is really cleanly defined, because that's the strength of the inhale.
Yeah, so you have this look of perhaps a sort of a post-kill, like an animal who's just like ravaged whatever his prey, basically, and you've got this bloody face to prove it.
And is now sleepy.
Yeah,
I've eaten my fill, and it's like sleepy pretty kitten, JP, is what you're describing.
Yeah, there's just so much to look at, and there's so many different ways to see it. Okay, we're going to take another break. Coming up, I'm gonna basically challenge Maxwell to figure out which are some of my favorite photographs from the book. That should be fun. It should sort of be like the Newlywed Game meets... I don't know what. So stay with us. More with Maxwell Lander and JP Robichaux when we come back.
No fluff, no lies, just real women talking real sex.
I am so bruised on my girl bits.
Sex gets real.
Sex gets so real.
So real up in here.
A weekly podcast with Dawn.
I just masturbated.
And Dylan.
Let's talk about the elusive clit.
Check them out on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and at sexgetsreal.com.
Cock rings.
Cock rings.
Hi, everyone. It's Tristan. In a loving relationship, a pleasure shared is a pleasure doubled. Lilo, the world's leading pleasure brand, has a gorgeous selection of luxury pleasure products for couples, each one perfectly designed to ensure both partners get the most from sex. Lilo's remote-controlled pleasure products feature an exclusive technology called Sense Motion. You can control the vibrations of the massager by simply tilting and moving the remote. It's incredibly intimate, even from a distance. All Lilo's luxury couples toys are waterproof, rechargeable, quiet, and absolutely beautiful. Try the best-selling Tiani 24K for the most sensuous shared pleasure you've ever experienced, or the Lilo Smart Wand for the most powerful all-over body massage of your life. Go to Lilo.com or any good adult retailer now to see how Lilo can bring you closer together.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm talking today about this brand new photography book from 3L Media called Carnal Anomaly. And the photographer is Maxwell Lander. And we also have J.P. Robichaud, who is featured in many of the photographs in the book and is the cover guy, I'm calling him. So Max, when we began to have this discussion, you know, you wrote me an email and said you'd been chatting with JP and you were thinking about having kind of a public conversation about portrayals of kink and violence in sexual imagery, and that a couple of friends of yours have actually had some difficult conversations with you about some of the photos from the book or some of them that you put online, because there's also a website people can, you know, gaze at some of these photos at carnalanomaly.com. I wonder what it's like for you to be the creator of these images, which some people may see as sexy and other people may see as actually violent.
Yeah, I mean, it gets very complicated very quickly. I have definitely, with this one, had a lot of thought processes about it, because I've had a couple friends, not that have brought up any issues they've had with me, but have actually had like third parties and secondary friends of theirs tell them how unimpressed they are with me as a person that's putting this imagery out there into the world. And that's never really a thing that's lovely to hear, but also something that I've kind of made my peace with. As far as having a pretty long history with engaging in BDSM and being pretty comfortable with the idea that a lot of the things that I like to engage in, people aren't okay with, representationally or not. And kind of, I think for me, being comfortable with the ways that I choose to engage with it personally really mitigates a lot of the discomfort that could come from presenting it publicly.
I mean, I feel like I had this struggle too with my one BDSM series, which is called Rough Sex, where I realized I'm putting out into the world these images that without context or without the interviews, or if you skip those or they're somehow cut out, that people could find disturbing rather than sort of titillating and arousing. And also not wanting to sort of give kink a bad name.
Yeah.
Do you worry about that?
I do. I think about context a lot. because I think that context, especially with the internet, the one thing that I occasionally do worry about is context. Because I think if people are accessing the images through me, or if they're accessing your work through you, then there is this context and there is a much larger conversation going on that is accessible to people who might be having difficulties with what some of the imagery portrays. But in the context of the internet, it's a huge possibility that images could be taken and thrown anywhere and presented entirely differently. And I've actually had some interesting conversations with people recently about whether or not we think that that context can be read in the imagery itself.
And what is the answer to that?
Right? I don't know. I don't know that. I would like to think that it can. One of the images in the book that caused some issue is there is a photo of, I don't even think it actually made it into the book, but I Instagrammed it. It's an outtake. There's a photo of JP. I think it's one of the ones of you cutting off that tank top that we were mentioning being cut off very slowly earlier on, as being promoting violence specifically against women.
Well, and there's a woman with a gun in her mouth. Let's just say that also. How about
there is.
That, you know, sort of jumped to my mind first that people
It's my favorite photo.
It's your favorite photo.
It's my favorite photo in the entire book.
Why?
I haven't put it on the internet anywhere because it's my favorite. I'm like, you buy the book. So the person in that photo is actually my closest friend on the entire planet, and we've been collaborating forever. And so I feel the most comfortable doing out there things with her. I love it compositionally. I love it color tone wise. I love how sharp it is. I love that to me, it looks like she's totally into it, because she was totally into it. I love the little hint of a scar on the hand that's just in the middle of it. Like, there's just so many details. It happened and I was like, oh my God, this photo. I can't even keep taking photos. Like, I had to step back for a moment to be like, that's it. I got what I wanted out of the shoot.
Wow.
But it's, yeah,
and it's one of the, I would think it would be one of the most button pushing for people.
I would assume as much. I mean, it's interesting because guns are very appealing to me, but I frequently have a conversation with people about how that might be because I live in Canada where they're not so prevalent.
I was thinking the exact thing, which is that they are a kind of a taboo for you rather than a daily reality, which there are some people who live with guns and gun violence as a daily piece of their reality as they walk in the world. And I think those people are less likely to, well, I don't know. Some of them would be less likely to eroticize it and others may want to reclaim it and take it back, as we can do in BDSM, right?
Yeah, I would think that it would have, I think both outcomes would come out of that because a lot of other things that we engage in BDSMY are really close to home. And for me, it's like I have no reference point for having them be a regular part of life. They are just kind of a fetish object.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that strikes me about this book is, and I'm wondering if you think this is even a thing, is it has a very queer gaze.
Yes. That's the goal. There was a lot of moments when we were, and JP can speak to this also, there was a lot of moments when we were talking about the kinds of shoots we wanted to do where we kind of, it became a joke by the end of it because it came up so much, but it was definitely, or it became a jokey part of conversation. But there was definitely a lot of awareness of not portraying one particular dynamic over and over again, specifically when it comes to bodies and genders and that kind of stuff. Which I think is part of where that comes from. The fact that there wasn't awareness, like, oh, we're not always going to have male tops because I feel like that's frequently what is out there already in the world. And we're not going to do just like traditional imagery of dominatrix women because that also feels very like, and those things can be involved, but not just those representations.
Right. Well, and those feel overdone. But it just feels like people's genders are definitely mutable and changeable and sometimes not entirely clear, meaning just that you're not quite sure kind of what is that person's gender. But what's interesting about that is you're using the same people. And so some of these same people can look very different depending on the particular shot.
Yeah, I mean, that was also part of the goal. I mean, it's funny with JP because I feel like JP always just looks like JP.
Except when he looks like an animal on the cover of your book.
Except when he looks like a cat that's just eaten something. But yeah, and that was also intentional. That was sort of part of the process for me on who I was picking to include, and which is why everybody in the book I have quite an intimate in one way or another personal relationship with and or a long-term photographic relationship with. So feel comfortable asking people to kind of do stuff that's a little bit out of their comfort zone and or something that they don't always embody, because that's way more fun for me. Like another big thing that we were very aware of is that usually in books that involve any kind of sexiness, at least in the mainstream, the women are always queer and the men are never queer.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the thing that I was not about.
Right, yes.
Not about that.
And yes, so, there's a lot of ladies touching each other's boobs, but there's like never any dudes together at all. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I mean, and the running joke is that most of the dudes in the book are what I keep in quotations, I'm making air quotes right now, identifying as like mainly heterosexual.
But they don't look like.
And that for me is really all that matters, because this wasn't a book about authenticity. Period. There was some authentic relationship to the subject matter, but I am interested in that fantasy also. And so if the fantasy is, hey, here's this, you know, there's one photo set in it that comes to mind specifically that does involve JP and one of the other men in the book where
it made me question his sexuality. Yeah, it made me question your sexuality, JP. And I was like, you know, how well do you know JP? Maybe not that well. Maybe, listen, Tristan, he could have a whole world inside there that you don't even know. And so it did make me question your sexuality, JP. It did.
I think that happened with like quite a few people. specifically with that series. Because there was, Max, am I right in that the shaving picture didn't make it into the book, right?
The shaving paper picture did not, but we did put it on the internet.
Yeah, it's on your Instagram feed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like that picture, the shaving picture, plus a couple of the other, like some of the shots that were also released from that series online pre-book, I got a lot of that response back.
The response that you're having, Tristan,
I got a lot of that back. Like people are like, oh, I'm looking at you differently now, and I have questions and hot. Like that, it was those sorts of three. Those were the three basic reactions. I'm looking at you differently. I have lots of questions, and damn, that's hot.
Yeah, no, it's undeniably hot. So it's like at some point it doesn't matter to me, because it's like you're in the moment. So I'm believing it now, and I don't need to, you know, I don't need to know if it's like your true sexuality or something. But did Max ever bring anything to you that you were like, no?
No, that honestly didn't happen. I feel like, I talking about stepping outside of a comfort zone, like I was actually more comfortable doing weird shit for Max on camera than any performance situation I've ever found myself in, any public situation I've ever found myself in. You know, I was prepared to cover myself with blood. I was prepared to have somebody sitting on top of me pretending to like thumb my eyeballs out. I was prepared to get covered in something that looks like oil or looks like poop and be super close and suggestive with this other guy for the shoot. There wasn't a moment in the shoot that I didn't trust what Max was doing. And there wasn't a moment in the shoot, in the whole process, for any of the shoots that I was involved in, that I didn't trust that what was going to come out of something that might feel in the moment a little bit weird, a little bit off, or a little bit not my regular, was going to come out looking amazing. And so I sort of, as somebody who has a long and abiding interest in control, the ability to be able to just say, all right, I'm not going to try to control too much about what's happening here. I'm just going to sort of relax and trust that Max has a thing that he wants to capture, and I'm going to do what I can to help create that thing.
That was just so articulate and eloquent, JP. Wow. I mean, that just brings a whole other level. Like there's this whole other power dynamic operating, you know, sort of behind the scenes. I mean, you certainly see these power infused images, but wow, I mean, what an amazing gift to have such a relationship.
Well, I feel like, sorry, Max, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I feel like that. That was glorious to hear.
Well, I just feel like Max and I have sought in a bunch of different ways for a really long time. And I've always liked the work that's come out of it. And then just in terms of talking about what the feeling or the flavor or the, not really a message, because I don't really feel like there's a message in the book, but certainly like the kind of lives and the kind of images that were looking to be portrayed, I was so entirely on board that, yeah, so I have some blood molasses on my head. Like that's, I'm into it to help realize the thing that Max wanted to make. And the rest of the people that we were working with, I felt amazingly, immediately comfortable with everybody, which I don't like many people. So that was really lovely from the get-go. And there's something kind of nice about being able to play, I think sort of playing me sometimes entirely on type, big, burly, dominant, sadist, cis guy, but also being able to say, we don't always want to see big, burly, dominant, sadist, cis guy be that person. Like, let's let him look a little bit messy. Let's let him look a little bit, let's let him look a little bit more queer. Let's let him look a little bit more submissive or masochistic, or let's let him look not necessarily in the standard, you know, flexing position of power that we tend to assume, I think, sometimes in this kind of photography automatically goes or is automatically aligned with somewhat of my aesthetic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So being able to break that mm-hmm. was more interesting to me for this project than trying to hang on to some like sub-societally accepted bullshit image.
Mm, yes. Okay, we've got to take a minute to chew on that, quite frankly, while we listen to commercials, because it's just really insightful, and I really appreciate like how thoughtful you are about it. And I just love to hear about these kind of photographer muse relationships. I wanted to call you like one of Max's muses, but then I thought, well, I have to ask Max who his muses are, but but now I'm just going to do it because that was because of just what you said. So, okay, let's take a break. We are going to hear from sponsors, and we are going to come back with Max and JP in just a couple minutes.
Hi, everyone. It's Tristan. In a loving relationship, a pleasure shared is a pleasure doubled. Lilo, the world's leading pleasure brand, has a gorgeous selection of luxury pleasure products for couples, each one perfectly designed to ensure both partners get the most from sex. Lilo's remote-controlled pleasure products feature an exclusive technology called Sense Motion. You can control the vibrations of the massager by simply tilting and moving the remote. It's incredibly intimate, even from a distance. All Lilo's luxury couples toys are waterproof, rechargeable, quiet, and absolutely beautiful. Try the best-selling Tiani 24K for the most sensuous shared pleasure you've ever experienced, or the Lilo Smart Wand for the most powerful all-over body massage of your life. Go to Lilo.com or any good adult retailer now to see how Lilo can bring you closer together.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Today we have been talking to photographer and artist Maxwell Lander. And one of the collaborators/models/muses for his new book, J.P. Robichaux, and the book is called Carnal Anomaly. So, Max, now I'm going to challenge you to figure out some of my favorite images. I've picked out two images that I'll put on Twitter, but there's actually three images that are my favorites in this book, and I want to know what you think I really like, and then I'll tell folks what I do really like.
This is so hard. Because I actually don't know what your response to blood is.
Oh, okay. I would say that the only no-go stuff for me is the guns. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, so you can eliminate the guns.
Mm-hmm, that makes sense. Because I feel like if you're a blood-friendly human, then because in my mind you would be into some of the more like stark, a little bit still lifey ones. I don't know why I think that.
Like me and Emma in the basement?
No, like I was thinking like the hands.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
The hands was one of the ones that came to mind.
Okay. No.
All right. Well, then I know nothing.
You know nothing. Well, I'll tell you. You want to guess one more?
Well, I feel like maybe there was a part of you that chuckled a lot at the gay ones.
Yeah, I did like the gay ones.
That made it into the favorites, but I feel like you probably had a bit of a chuckle.
Okay, so here are my two favorites. One of them comes pretty early in the book, and it features three people on a beach. Two of them definitely appear to be woman identified. Third one, questionable. They're on a beach. They've dug like a shallow grave. And do you know the one I mean? Of course you do. Okay. And it's just such a striking image because everyone just looks 100% like in that moment. And it's as if you didn't know like where the photographer sort of came from. And the woman holding the other woman who presumably is going in the grave is really powerful. Like she's super kick-ass.
Oh, Dad's going to have... So that person is a friend of mine who I call Dad.
Okay, great.
And Dad is going to have such a love moment that was the photo that was singled out of that. Yeah, she's a beast. She's a beast of a woman.
Wow, that one's super hot. And I don't know. It just really spoke to me. I mean, who knows why these things? Okay, and the second one that I really love actually caught me a little bit off guard. It comes later in the book, and it's essentially a guy's face, and he has like half of a mask of white melted wax on his face, covering his mouth and part of his nose. And there's a woman behind him with red fingernails kind of digging into his face.
You're right. I never would have guessed either of those. Never. I would have gone through almost every other, like I would have got to the beach one before the wax one, but
yeah. Well, okay. So there's something, first of all, this one of the lightest, sort of brightest of your works, but the composition of this photo, first of all, is just off the fucking charts. Like you could put it in a textbook, I think. The composition, the shapes that are going on and the way that each piece of it kind of fits together is really amazing. The look on his face is really incredible. He has these kind of like these lines in his eyes and he's sort of squinting, and the color is also really striking to me. I'm not really into wax, right? And I don't know why, but that photo is really arresting for me in this book.
It's probably the boobs.
Nice. You're just going to narrow down my complex like fetishes and turn-ons and my particular gaze. And you're like, oh, there's boobs there. I know. I'm aware that there are boobs there.
There are boobs there. For me, that photo, it's probably one of the most intense eye contacts that is made.
Yes. 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 Book.
And that's probably, and you can see all of the kind of like vein
Yes.
Activity around his eyes, which kind of looks a little bit stressed. Like it is, there's a lot of detail. There's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of detail.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. The eye contact. Which is really powerful. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not just the boobs.
And sometimes you're more, again, I feel like you're more of a voyeur kind of off to one side. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like you're like in the middle of the action. And this one feels like you're in the middle of the action. Like for sure, you're in the middle of the action.
So funnily enough, both the photos that you chose are two of the only instances of like head-on eye contact.
Oh. So maybe
specifically because you like pointed out the woman in the middle of ivory who is making eye contact. Like two of those people are making eye contact.
Mm.
Maybe that's your jam.
So that's my jam. Okay. And then I think the third one would be this very, very abstract. It's after the bathtub series. I'll just call that the bathtub series. Okay. mm-hmm. And it's two faces squished up against maybe fabric or a sheet, and the faces look wet.
Mm-hmm. All those things are correct. Yes.
Okay.
It is stretchy fabric, and they are in fact wet.
This would be a good sort of. These are two different photos. Are they two different photos?
No. It's the same photo.
Oh, it's one big photo because it's a spread. So I didn't know if it was two photos side by side that had the similarity or it's one photo. Yeah. I feel like this could be like the postcard for your show at the Whitney.
Ooh, I like that a little bit. The funny thing about that one is that for whatever reason, the fabric, which is something that I loved when it was happening and something that I didn't anticipate, but the fabric made those two women's gender presentation polarize. Because it's two women and it looks like the most normative, like high femme thing happening on the left. And then this kind of like potentially pretty boy situation
dude,
on the right.
Definitely Reed's dude.
Yeah. And it was like, that was what drew me to pulling that one in the book, is that what is happening behind there is not what it looks like.
Okay, listen, we're out of time. I just got a little caught up in the moment there. I was like gazing at the book. I turned away from my screen and now there's like no time at all. So I'm going to say thank you to both of you and let me tell people how they can find you. Maxwell Lander is a photographer, designer, and artist. His new book is Carnal Anomaly, published by 3L Media. Find out more at carnalanomaly.com and maxwelllander.ca, CA for Canada. Follow him on Facebook and Twitter at Maxwell Lander. J.P. Robichaux, of course, is on the cover. You decide if he has whiskers or not. You can find out more about him at thecontrolenthusiast.com. Follow him on Twitter and Instagram at controlenthused. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be the author Chris Matza, talking about two of her books, one, Something Wrong with Her, and the other, Various Men Who Knew Us as Girls. It's going to be a good one. Until then, it's the usual directive, people. Talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.